This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Carm Capriotto, your aftermarket podcast pioneer, with another segment of our scan tool series. Now, this is part two. Yes, there's another one coming, and that'll make it three. Hey, same crew, Matt Fonslow, Keith Perkins, and Bill Nalu from part one, and we came together to discuss the myths of which scan tool will do a better job. We also talked about the words scan tool. Is this the right term to define this device? And many don't know that you can buy an OE scan tool from the dealer. Yes, another deep discussion. And if you didn't listen to Scan Tools Part 1, it's in episode 629, released in April of 2021. I'll have a link in the show notes to that episode. Hey, much thanks to our partner Napa for providing you this episode. Napa Auto Care is proud to partner with nearly 17,000 independent repair facilities. Now, with the goal of helping members sell more needed repair, it's no wonder Napa Auto Care is the largest banner program. Hey, if you'd like to learn more, speak to your Napa representative today. Hey, you know why you're here religiously listening to the podcast. And we hope that we continue to meet or exceed your expectations with every episode. Hey, if you find the podcast genuinely interesting, please recommend us to a friend. And thanks. Hey, warm welcome to my Scan Tools Part 2 team. You know what I did is I brought back the original team from Part 1. Oh, no, Carm. We wanted some new voices.
Say it isn't so.
Matt Fonslow's with us. Good to see you, Matt. Thanks thanks for being back again and helping
thanks
lead this panel.
Me.
Bill Nalu from Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights, Michigan.
Howdy, gentlemen.
Good, Bill. And Keith Perkins from L1 Automotive Diag and Programming, and also from L1 Automotive Training. Good to have you here, Keith.
Glad to be back.
I think the last time we were chatting a little bit about buying tools, training, specialization, cost per use, and stuff like that. So let's take it to a brand new level.
Like super ego? Like that's id ego, super ego? That would be a... That'd be a next level.
That would be if you wish to bring your ego. You usually leave it on the shelf.
Yeah, what would Maslow have for a scan tool? Let's put it that way.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
There you go.
Right? The triangle of scan tools?
Yes.
Well, it really depends on what he would work on, I guess. Yes. Is Maslow the type to work on everything, or is he specialized?
Yeah. No, I think he's a specialist.
Specialist, yeah.
But I think that would drive the conversation.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Are we talking about old Maslow or young Maslow?
Half the audience is out there saying, who's Maslow?
I like it, the mashup.
Yes.
Yeah. Middle school, maybe high school health class, you would have talked about a hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
The hierarchy of needs. It starts with basic needs, physiological safety, belongingness and love, esteem needs and self-actualization, self-fulfillment, psychological need and basic needs. It's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now that that's out of the way, Matt, and you brought it up, let's talk automotive tools.
Well, I think a natural progression is when it comes down to it and you're starting to acquire scan tools, whether you have some already or really starting out deciding what to buy, is you have to decide between aftermarket. Actually, I'm going to correct myself. I don't know if we need to decide between the two, but you're going to have choices between our choices of aftermarket scan tools and the manufacturer specific scan tool, the same thing used in dealerships that is available to us.
Is the mindset split on what people want to buy because they're confident that the OE will be exactly what they want and so specific that it'll do a better job?
When I really think about it, I think there's a lot of myths. One is, I still think there's a lot of shop owners, technicians, you know, our colleagues in this trade, in this profession, that do not know that they can buy the factory scan tool. They think their options are limited to what comes in that catalog from wherever, be it a, you know, truck, you know, Snap-on truck, whatnot, Maco, or from the parts stores, you know, Delgard or whatnot catalog. And those are the options. Oddly enough, some of those have factory scan tools, I think, some of them, but they don't know that they can go to, like, you know, become a member of NASDAQ, have links to websites to figure out how to purchase, you know, what they need for the scan tool. Because now a scan tool is kind of a weird term to use, right? Because you have presumably a PC or a tablet of some sort, an interface and some software. And then, you know, how that all falls into place depends on what car line we're going to talk about.
Would you consider that, Matt? Is it time for us to get away from calling something a scanner when Joe Blow can go out there and buy one for $39 on Amazon and start calling it really what it is? And that is a factory diagnostic platform. If we're going to talk specifics, right?
Yeah, I think diagnostic platform fits a lot of them.
Yeah.
Especially in the aftermarket. And, well, you know, honestly, a lot of them. A lot of OE tools too, right? They're not just plugging into the DLC. They also have some means of collecting raw data.
Yeah. What is your experience? I mean, that you just threw something, kind of, there's a bomb that just went off in my head when you said that there's techs out there that don't know that they can buy factory tools. What is the percentage of technicians and shop owners, shops out there that don't know that they have access to factory diagnostic platforms?
We have a really good person on the board, this panel, to answer that, named Keith Perkins.
I would say in my demographic and in my experience of being shop to shop, you know, going mobile to mobile, I get to see a lot of that, I get to interact with a lot of technicians and owners and advisors. And I would say that they're probably in the high 80s, and that's giving a lot to the industry, that are unaware that that is an option to purchase or to even to be available to them.
If you had said 10%, I would have thought, man, that's a lot. I'm blown away by your answer.
I am too.
Yeah, I think that they believe it's a hidden hierarchy of thing. They're not even sure how it works. There are a lot of, you know, throughout our industry, we kind of got the same thing. You find guys that have never worked in the dealer world and guys that have never worked in the independent world. And then there's a very small percentage that do both. I don't think there's a whole lot of crossover there, at least in my experience of what I've found. And because of that, there's a huge disconnect. And it works the same way. I have the same issue purchasing scan tools from some dealerships. I get told, no, I can't sell you that. That's only for us. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. I actually had to, you know, with BMW to purchase the interface, I actually had to step in and ask NASDAQ to help me out. Can you please get them to sell this to me?
There's an uphill battle, Keith. They try it once, they find out there's pushback, for example, mm-hmm. and they just give up, and it perpetuates the 80% that don't think they can buy it or they never knew that they could. So what's the secret? If someone wants to buy a scan tool, they call up a dealership? Is there a 1-800 number? As you said, maybe they get NASDAQ involved?
Yeah, I mean, if you are in the know and you know that this tool is available to you, there's not a one-stop resource for this, right? So it's handed down knowledge. It's generational. You know, it's within our industry. It's something that's given from one to another and during that mentorship to learn these things. There's not a book to read that says, hey, these are all the tools that are available to you, right? So maybe that's a hurdle we tackle by just informing what's available. I don't know if that's going to fix the issue, though, because some of these tools are not super intuitive just to get going. So just imagine anyone that's done it setting up a YTEC tool by yourself.
Yep.
You spend the $1,850 for the latest and greatest micropod. You get it in your hands and you go, okay, so I plugged into the car and there's a USB port on it. I plugged that in and I plugged it. Where do I download the software? And it's nothing of the sorts. It has nothing to do with that. You have to set up a secure network between the pod and the manufacturer's secure cloud network. And then you have to set up registration and two-factor authentication. And you have to associate the pod to your account. And there's three subscriptions just to get the thing going to talk to the car and do to do a secure gateway unlock and do a programming event. And then you find out you need a PIN number and then you got to go get a NASDAQ. I mean, you're 6 weeks in and you haven't been able to talk to a car.
Is that where a guy like you could come in and help someone and get it up in a day?
Yeah, and there's other tools too. There's other companies. Isaac Rodell sells laptops that are set up and provides support with that. AE Tools does something similar. You can purchase the micropod through them. They assist in setting it up and it's needed. It's not like we talked about, those of us that are real big into it, we feel like it's pretty intuitive because we know where to look. You know, the best part about finding out is knowing where to find out.
Yeah, and what Bill said about, you know, this 80% thing that you brought up, Keith, how many know that all this other stuff like you just rattled off is also options?
Right, right. That was, yeah, and yeah. I tried to cram as much info in there to just give some life to the gravitas of what it is to just set one up and get it working. You know,
and not to go backwards with this at all, but just to support further what Keith is saying, not only is it on our side, the independent side, a lot of the parts, you know, people, parts managers, service side of the dealership have no idea that they can sell this stuff to you or how to order it anyways. So you're calling up asking, you know, you may not be calling up the service department or the parts department saying, hey, could you score me a blah, blah, blah interface? You might have to come up with the actual part number or part number would be the right term, or item number, I guess, to order. And they may not even really know what they're getting you.
Yeah. And then sometimes that backfires. I have that issue right now. The latest Mopar diagnostic pod that's needed for the Atlantis high security architecture vehicles. Basically, there's two models that are out right now that require this additional architecture micropod. It's a new tool. You have to buy it because it speaks a language that only these two cars talk. I was able to acquire one of these, from what I can tell, before anyone else in the aftermarket. They are now available for sale as of yesterday, I think because of my griping through NASTIF to Chrysler. So they said, fine, we'll open up the servers to the aftermarket. Went to register my pod. Can't register it. The pod was ordered through a dealer, so it's registered to that dealer. I was supposed to wait rather than doing all the legwork. So, you know, I've got $1,800 tied up in this tool that they're telling me is worthless to a dealership in California that won't return it for me to, you know. So, yeah, you can do all the legwork and you could do all that. But if you're led astray, you know, and that just furthers the, I guess we created a problem, right? We created the awareness of a problem, the knowledge of what it takes to do this, to get out there and do it.
You've just described the hurdle to me. You've just described the hurdle where there's so many people that go on social media and says, I tried, I failed, it's terrible, don't. And it perpetuates that 80%. Now, here's my question. Is it better than anything else that you could buy if you get the OE?
Oh, yeah. Currently, it's the only device that can talk to these cars.
Well, no, in that particular case, but in another case.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Across the board, any OEM tool is going to take you deeper than any single, you know, all around platform.
Yeah, with very few exemptions, that will be true. There are some developer tools that are available that people have created that do things the OE won't do, but there's still a limitation within that tool.
Yeah. In general, for like what Keith's saying, but also Bill, what they're saying, day-to-day, the OE tool will be more capable and allow you to do, there's just certain things you can't do without the OE tool. Even if the option's available on the aftermarket tool, it may not successfully do it. You have to have the OE tool to do it. So one idea that pops in my head is like encoding or variant coding, of course, programming.
Yeah.
But those are two things that pop into my head almost immediately. You're probably not doing them with an aftermarket tool.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Keith could probably rattle off a half a dozen examples of the OE tool won't freaking do it. And he grabs whatever aftermarket tool and does it.
Yeah.
But in general, if you want to fully service a given car line, the only option is to have the factory scan tool. Not saying you shouldn't have an aftermarket tool as well or multiple, but if you're going to fully service this vehicle or this car line, that's what you have to have. You have to have it.
Keith, can you just sit in your office and just work nationally over the internet and just be a hell of a resource to people? Or are you just a mobile diag with, and you do some of this stuff on the side? Because it seems to me, based on the knowledge that you have, you're a hell of a resource.
I have transitioned to a 90% of my day as a resource. I work in the van. I did one job this week so far in the van. And it's currently my limitation of why I had to go do that job is because I'm the only registered VSP for my company. So I had to leave and go do the VSP transaction and come back. My day-to-day is, just on a personal business level, I determined it's way better to have my brain in three vans than it is to have my brain in one van and focused, hyper-focused on a car I'm physically in front of, and then I can't help my other guys and gal. I can't help them because I'm too focused on the car and problem in front of me. When I'm at my computer, I'm just a resource. So they call and they go, hey, I'm having trouble with this. I can team view into the laptop, pull up all the wiring diagrams. All right, let's check here, check there. And at the same time, the phone starts ringing and I go, hold on, let me call you back. Other Zach is calling me. And then going to phone, hey, I got other Zach on the line. Hold on, because I got two Zachs. So that helps, you know.
Do you see your business model changing in the future as you find and groom more talent?
Mm-hmm. Okay. My two Zachs I have now are becoming amazing resources for the other shops around us and for myself. Each one of them adds something, of course. You know, every technician has got their thing. So yeah, we're trying to absolutely grow that knowledge base and make it an actual searchable resource.
And this is no BS. This is not blowing smoke up Keith's tail or nothing. But seriously, if you are looking at expanding capabilities, scan tools, and really just diagnostics in general, but really especially scan tools and programming, Keith's website is an extremely powerful resource. It really is, especially over the last, 3 years maybe, it's really exploded.
Yeah. We have over 300 monthly subscribers that are contributing. That when they're finding issues and they're emailing me, I'm trying to help everybody. So there's an email chain. You can send me a question. I do my best to answer it. And you know, usually 24 hours or so, I respond back. And we've built charts where you look up year, make, model, module. Are there any nuances to this module? We have a chart built on the website for that that's adding constantly. It started as an internal document for us. My tech shows up to do a liftgate module on a Cadillac SRX. And he's like, hey, this thing doesn't talk on the scan tool. I'm like, funny story. This is that one module that will not talk until you program it. Yep. Completely contradicts everything we've ever told to a technician that like, hey, when the shop calls and goes, hey, this module doesn't talk, I need you to come program it. We always laugh and go, that's not how it works, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we create little nuances like that. We create that resource. And that's huge. That's a part. It's just like the scan tool thing. You know, we run into all these nuances of scan tools, and it's impossible to know them all.
I'm fortunate to have, I don't know if you guys know Sam Brooks from Tool Hut.
Yeah.
He's our local guy. Sam's great. We just, how we survived all these years without a Y-Tech, we had a dealer tech that did all of our programming and very reasonable. He would always do it at night after hours. You know, I'd leave him money, they'd do it. And we finally broke down and said, okay, we need to get this invested. And Sam got us set up. And without somebody like Sam, or without being able to call Matt and get his advice on which way we might want to go. And I think when we bought an Autel tool, Matt was the one that I called for consultation. But I so appreciate, Keith, what you guys do to support us being able to do what we do in the base. And I got to say, I'm still reeling from that 80% that you told me about. It blows my mind. So let me ask you a business question. What is your estimation on whether these guys or gals, I suspect most of them, if not all of them, are guys. How long are they in business 5 years from now? If they don't even know that there are scan tools, factory scan tools that they have access to on this crazy thing we call the internets.
Yeah, because we keep waiting for everybody to go out of business and they don't.
Right.
And we have so many playing field levelers out there now with databases and the quick fixes. And now there's no way to avoid it. I almost hate talking about it to a degree. There's a lot of aftermarket tools coming out that are acting as an interface to become very much, at least the right to repair version of a factory scan tool that should be fairly fully capable. You know, I can't say 100%, but fairly capable that will keep these guys in business and doing things that, you know, Keith has killed or not killed, but at least dedicated hundreds and hundreds of hours of just either trial and error, trying it or learning from somebody else, you know, be it a friend somebody he's networked with or reading through forums or whatnot, that now this facility for a, you know, not a large investment is going to get an interface and then a monthly / yearly subscription is going to gain a lot of capability. They'll still be there.
You left out diagnostic dice. The question is it dice or die? You know? I mean,
they call it dice.
The combinations are endless.
Plural, right?
Yeah.
I would agree. I as much as I play both sides, I think I fight myself on this. I kind of hope that a lot of the ones that are under-tooled, under-trained, and unwilling to become tooled and trained, I absolutely am willing to help anyone that's willing to help themselves. But the ones that are unwilling to, I would really hope they go out. But I, at the same time, I am a mobile resource that's keeping them afloat for certain jobs. And then, like Matt said, there are some tools coming out that are not only going to allow it to act as a right to repair version, but allow someone else that's fully capable and has the subscription and tooling to attach to that device remotely and perform the function they need done through their tool, through their one device. And there's different technical methods that this can be done. And there are a couple in the field already that are doing that. Like the wrap device is what kind of like what we're talking about. It's one that's done one way technically. And then there's other ways to do that same, to have the same end result that are also available. And a lot of the big players are going to have a tool that will do that, that are going to provide that ability for them not to invest in everything in-house, but still provide the same function.
Carm here, and coming up, learn about the many challenges to get an OE Diag platform up and running. Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new NAPA Smart Sign, previously known as the Digital Menu Board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a NAPA Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. NAPA Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board. And targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One Auto Care shop owner said, "I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen." Now that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your NAPA Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. Just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest NAPA national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a NAPA Smart Sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, "I'm on top of my game." Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what NAPA Smart Sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing NAPA store owner to find out more about the Smart Sign and all the other reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. Are we in a revolution of change here with ScanTools?
I think for the programming portion and a certain level of diagnostics, I don't think Keith's going to have to close up shop or downsize because of this. He might get more work, honestly.
Well, I'm saying, because it sounds like with these right to repair scan tools, at least the versions of them, we're probably going to have more forward deployed access, because it would be a little easier maybe and less complicated.
I would have said that maybe last year, but I'm not sure anymore between FCA, Stellantis, and really Mercedes-Benz, and yeah, sometimes it seems like there's a lot of hoops to jump through. Otis, you know, Volkswagen Otis, there's a lot of hoops to jump through to get it. When you have it, it's great, but man, to get it.
So Matt, Keith, how many hours do you spend getting it to work?
Keith probably gets it right away. I'm the one that fights it for half a day.
No, I've been in the same. I think I just took on the I same thing, hours for each one. I struggle just the same as anyone else. I just lie about it.
So this journaling episode that Matt did about writing down this stuff so that you could go back to it, because you turned this thing on once and then somebody picks up the phone and says, "Hey, Keith, you got one of these things?" I forgot how I did it. So do you take extreme notes?
Yeah, I do. I usually make a video out of it. I did a video recently on setting up your laptop to do a Ford accessory protocol interface module programming, because it's like 25 minutes of doing the smallest, dumbest little tweaks to Internet Explorer and security settings and turning on XML and enabling this. And there was just this ridiculous 4-page document from Ford about it. And I'm like, I'm sure this document's going to disappear. So I'm going to just document it as a video, make it a video, release a teaser on YouTube, you know, to springboard, because the business person me said, all right, make a teaser and springboard them to the paid channel to see the entire setup and everything. But yeah, that's every time I have to set something up new, I go, okay, hold on, I need to replicate this because I got to do this for three more times to put it in three more vans. So I need to make this doable and troubleshootable. And then it becomes a resource for everyone that's there. Everyone that has access.
Can you imagine him doing all of this trial and error, taking videos, and then having 20 hours and have to edit it down to one?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's like an 18-minute video for that Ford that took 2 days to finish.
God bless guys like you, Keith, that are investing in that 18 minutes. Oh, it was easy. I could do that. And it took them 2 days.
Yeah.
Because it was a trial and error. And do you pull your hair out at all? I mean, does that happen?
Yeah, but I have to look at the long run. It twofold. It helps my technicians and their vans. And then, of course, on the back end, I'm making money from the subscription off the website. It's becoming a resource, and it grows every month. So it's, you know, it is paying for itself. It's something I had to put in the very beginning. It wasn't that way. It was a lot of work it was probably 40 hours a week for $120 a month between all the different revenue sources.
I don't know where you guys want to go next, but Matt, you said something that was so interesting. You said playing field levelers.
Yeah. It's a catch-22. Yeah. It's something I can't, either I stole from somebody or I came up with that.
But I like it.
I kind of labeled IATN specifically and Identifix as that. It just annoyed me to no end that I was spending all this money on tools and training, going to Vision, going to, you know, at the time, Linder Technical Services, taking up this training, signed up for a year of Thornton classes, whatever it was, just 80 hours of training a year, no, I'm at the very minimum. And then so-and-so, you know, fellow shop down the road is getting a vehicle in that I know they'll never figure it out. And they figure it out. I'm like, wow, you know, how did you arrive at that? That's a good find. Oh, well, we looked it up on Identifix. Really? So for $90 a month, because they're whatever, hooked up with a parts store or warehouse or a member of whatever.
Yeah, but you seem upset about that. Why are you upset to your fellow guy who had a brain to figure that out? It wasn't a silver bullet, but maybe it was a bronze bullet.
Well, in that case, it was a silver bullet. They went on Identifix, and number one hit was
no test here.
They didn't test it. They didn't look it up.
Didn't understand the system operation or why the symptom equated to that failure.
Yeah. Can I throw in, you know, to touch on Carm's little sarcastic little remark about that, to defend the indefensible? Look at how they do it in the medical industry. You think the doctor, the general practitioner, knows as much about that drug's interaction as the pharmaceutical sales rep? And what is it that they never, ever, ever tell the patient? This is going to take care of it, right? They're going to say, go ahead, do this. See me in a couple of days if nothing changes, right? And yet, we work on something with not two models. It's got 2,000 models in various shapes and sizes, increasing ever in complexity and scope. And yet, we're supposed to be able to give somebody 100%. And some of the industry will gawk at that. They'll say, well, you know, I'm not going to throw in, you know, whenever I hear diagnostic dice, you know, I think that's a term that I attribute to you, Matt. And as egregious as that sounds, the fact of the matter is, if you're a general repair facility, you rely on some kind of pattern failure and you chase it down that way. And if I may say this here, I'm not afraid to tell you, sometimes you've got a situation where you say to a customer, you know what, we're human, we're a general repair facility, this isn't our forte. However, it's either we give you some answer for what we have here, or the dealer needs 3 weeks to get to your vehicle. So this is what we can offer you. We've got three different possibilities. This is what we've got here. There's a $300 or $400 involved in this process. Are you willing to go forward with it? And in many cases, the customer says, well, it seems rational because otherwise I don't have a car. If I rent a car, it's $500. If I fix the car and it fixes it, it's $300 or $400 or whatever that thing, you know, the amount might be. I think sometimes when we approach that situation and we market it as such and we say to a customer, this is what we think is going on. This is why we think this is what's happening here. And even to the extent where you can say, we don't have that European $40,000 tool in-house, but this is what we're getting. We're getting a pretty strong hit that 8 out of 10 vehicles are, this is what's happening here. And so what we need to do is pull a bunch of stuff apart, figure out whether this harness is actually rubbing on here and whatever. And if we get that and we're there, then that saves us a whole lot of time and energy. Otherwise, again, the other option is you could spend $2,000 to $3,000 at the local dealership when they get to it 2 or 3 weeks down the road. What is the problem with us offering less than 100% to a customer, them knowing full and well why we're going down this path at that point?
Again, not to kiss butt or anything, but you amongst many other shops, and I don't want to assign like a percentage to it. I want, no, it's probably unfortunately a low percentage, but you still recognize the value of what you're providing. Even if it was a quote unquote silver bullet or a funnel that kind of forced you into a certain area to focus, that you still recognize the value of that resource and whoever developed the resource or, you know, came up with the original finding of that issue. My concern is, and it's probably a horrific analogy, is like the scene from Jurassic Park, Ian Malcolm going off on really John Hammond about this technology. You stood on the shoulders of giants. You didn't go through the work to learn about it. You kind of stole the ideas and now you're out. You're going to sell it. You're going to stamp it on a lunchbox and boom, boom, boom. And my concern is with stuff like that, be it a database for quote unquote bullets or an interface and some kind of a support system that you plug it in and you pay whatever amount of money and they program it. And now they can add, you know, they can do immobilizer stuff and keys. That kind of sucks. My concern is that they don't necessarily, a large percentage of these tech shops, entities, don't recognize the value that they're providing because of this. And, you know, not that it has to be a sob story or anything of that nature, but that they're taking away from the quote unquote capable shop, the shop that had the training and the tooling and experience, if it you will, of doing it, that you're now taking this away for work you didn't really do. You just shelled out some money.
But the culture in the shop is, anyway, we can fix it to satisfy the customer, give them a great experience, get that car on time, make it safe, make it reliable. And I'm thinking silver in the mix, silver bullets in the mix, meaning you could have a great A tech who has done his incredible work, but at his wit's end, instead of picking up the phone and, you know, like calling on a lifeline, you look for a silver bullet to kind of get you down that track because you've got commitments to make for your customer. Matt, don't tell me that you've not done this and helped yourself out, even though you are a AAA diagnostic tech. You've had to do it. And
whether it's the bullet or phoning a friend or whatever, but it's a huge ego hit. And, you know, I take the hit too.
That's what I wanted to hear. How many of you guys, I mean, you know, Keith, chime in because you're close to this with the people that subscribe for your support. Are the people that are subscribing the AAA Diag guys and they just need that oomph or that push or that just over the hill support? And it's not like they're really bees trying to be an A and they need, you know, they need 10 silver bullets a day.
I think if you're asking me for help, it's probably something that's really specialized. You know, what I do, the programming that I do is probably highly specialized. I do so much of it and it's unfair to compare that because in a brick and mortar in this industry, you're just not going to do that many Even if you're a shop that advertises that you do programming, I mean, Matt's shop has got to be, everyone around them knows to send it to Matt if it's programming. Everyone knows that. And I just can't see a single building having that many cars come in to have that experience. And it's not me. I'm a team of one of four that are doing this.
And when it was just you, you probably did more in a day than I do in a week, or it's close. For sure, 2 days.
Yeah.
For sure, in 2 days, you do more than I do.
I'm looking on the schedule now. We have 12 cars tomorrow. Eight of them are programming events. So we're gonna perform eight programming events at a minimum tomorrow. I don't know many brick and mortar shops that'll do that in a month. And that's regular Wednesday, which the first hour and a half of the day is mute anyways. We have a short schedule because Wednesdays we do a team lunch or team breakfast. It's a resource only because I have the experience, and it's not because I've been doing it so long. It's because I do so many of just one thing. So scan tools. I mean, all of that's true. I think a capable hand is the most important part of the scan tool. It's less about the tool and less about the data. I would say most aftermarket scan tools probably provide 80% of 85, 90% of the same information. There's functions and all those other nuances, but
When I think of programming, it's inevitable. Well, not, it wouldn't have to necessarily be actually OE. It's going to be linked to OE one way or another, but the first thing that pops into my head is like PC skills. And I would never try to say that I'm super computer literate. I haven't really done any coding. I don't remember all the keyboard shortcuts, and you know, going in on the back end of things, a lot of stuff from command prompts. Like I know how, like pinging and how to reset IPs and stuff like that. But man, to say I'm a very high level PC user, I don't think that's true. I really don't. But
you know your way around it.
I probably know enough to get in trouble, but really, you know, Java drivers, that's some of the stuff I see struggling with is when to know when to stop, uninstall, you know, what is a clean install, reinstall a driver, uninstall, delete the Java, get the Java from the website of the manufacturer you're dealing with and install that, even if it has the same number sometimes, or just the fact of uninstalling and reinstalling it solves the problem. But watching people work through that, I think that's really what slows people down on the programming end. And in the independent world, if you're not buying from certain entities, the support can be minimal. Sometimes it's freaking phenomenal, the OE support. Some of it, it's non-existent. Like, what kind of laptop you got? Oh, yeah, I can't help you. Click.
Yeah, sorry.
What are they looking for? Windows?
Well, definitely like Windows 10, usually Windows 10 Professional, but some of them, I don't know if it's so much nowadays, but really for a while there, it was like a specific laptop. Dell Latitude, this model, or HP, this model. And if you didn't have that, or Toughbooks, especially Toughbooks, forget it. We can't help you.
Yeah. The irony of ironies, the people that sell diagnostic platforms won't diagnose the hardware that attaches to the platform.
Right. That's a big part of it. But that's what comes down to it. No matter how far deep we try to go into the scan tool, it always comes down to the technician and identifying if this, I can, we say it all the time. I can walk into one of these shops and they go, oh, well, you know, I just don't have the tool for this. I'm like, here you go. Show me. And you'll just watch them lock up and freeze, you know, if you do that. And that's embarrassing for them. So you don't want to do that to them. But that's what I find the most often is that a lot of places believe it's the tool. Believe it's you know, not just people, not just the consumers, but technicians too.
Honestly, it's I don't want to say it's overly common, but I will get periodic phone calls from tool salesmen, specifically in the truck guys, so Snap-on, whatnot.
Yeah,
where a shop is struggling with a vehicle, and we'll just pick on a GM EVAP. They can't find an EVAP leak. You know, they call the dealership and they're like, well, I would just do a bay test. Well, what's a bay? What do you mean a bay test? Oh, you do with the scan tool. You just go in here and blah, 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 boom, does a bay test. And it tells you if it's leaking right now or not. And they go into their scan tool and it's not there. And now they're mad. It's like, hey, I just dropped whatever it is, $15,000 on this scan tool or $5,000 on this scan tool, whatever. It doesn't have this. And they're calling me like, hey, I thought this was a pretty capable scan tool. It is. Well, you know, so-and-so is trying to do a bay test on it. Oh, yeah, I won't do that. Was it the scan tool? No, the car won't freaking do it.
Yeah.
I got the factory scan tool. You want to borrow it? Won't do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. And we kind of drug it back into the OE stuff. Keith is exactly right. It's not like every car gets an OE tool put on it. I would say there, I can go a few days even with a never pulling out a factory scan tool that I do it all with aftermarket because it's generally handheld, generally much faster to navigate, does what I need it to do. In some cases, holds my hand. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to have your handheld where you don't have to run to service information to know the exact process to do whatever it is it may be doing. I mean, you want to reset the oil life on a car and the scan tool, you plug it in and it basically holds your hand to do it. What's wrong with that? Aftermarket scan tools are, I think, very important to the arsenal. And I think I've said multiple times that I just feel like it's to the point where every tech in the shop needs to have a scan tool. I just can't think of I can't think of a situation where they wouldn't need it. Not only just a good process would be to health report every car that comes in the door.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I mean, what services are we doing where a scan tool is not involved? It's getting really rare. Brakes, you got to put it into a service mode, or scan tool has to be involved in the bleeding process, like an auto bleed or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the oil changes. Sometimes it's easier to just plug the freaking scan tool in and reset oil life than it is to go through the dash. Not always the case, but sometimes very much the case. I mean, if we just snowball effect, we can just come up with example after example. And it just seems reasonable to me that every tech in the shop should have a scan tool. Maybe it's not a full blown high end, does everything. But
a service
maintenance tool. You mean provided by the shop, of course.
Correct. Right? I was just going to say that.
Provided by the shop. That's one of my pet peeves.
Yep.
If they haven't figured it out by now, God help them.
Wait a minute. To your point, Matt, you said every technician has to have a scan tool, and Bill is saying, no, the shop should have the scan tool.
I mean, provided. Okay, yeah.
Enough for every tech.
Yeah.
If you have four techs working for you, it's at least four scan tools in the building.
Got it.
And I'm sure Keith would argue more too. There should be more, but you know, their day-to-day every car scan tool for the health report and probably to do whatever they need for most of the vehicles that's in their bay or in their box or whatever provided by the shop. And then you have the next level, whatever that, you know, however we want to structure that for the Diag. You know, it's going to be a little more complete tool. It's going to have more options, more capability. And then I think we would argue, depending on what car lines you service and how many of those you see and to what level you want to service them, factory tools should be made available. And then I think what we were talking about a little bit is there's probably a strong argument in a brick and mortar shop to have a tech that either specializes in certain kind of car lines a little bit at least, or a tech or two that are doing the vast, vast majority of what would we call it? Maybe the technology stuff or the Diag stuff, the programming stuff, because it's a lot to remember. It just, there's no way around it. It's a lot to remember. And I think we mentioned it in the first episode. The user interfaces don't necessarily translate well from car line to car line to car line.
Hey, this was great. I think what we want to do, guys, is move into a part three. I want to thank so much Keith Perkins from L1 Automotive Diag and Programming. And also, he's got a great company called L1 Automotive Training. Matt Fonslow from Riverside Automotive in Red Wing, Minnesota. And Bill Nalu, Interstate Auto Care, Madison Heights. Guys, let's do part three and just keep this conversation going. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That's good. Thanks.
Great to be here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.